This is Classic Rain Hamcast number 28, posted Saturday, November 14th, 2020. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We thank you for your patience the last umpteenth weeks waiting for this podcast to resume. This week we go back to 1988 for a couple of excerpts from the Bear Information Service, prepared by Hap Holly, KC9RP, in those days prior to the rain report that Hap produced from 1990 to 2019. Our first piece of amateur radio history is a commentary Doug Weed, N3AIA, read about Canada's threat to reallocate part of the 440 MHz amateur band. This is a commentary that appeared on Doug's Chicago Packet Bulletin Board back in 1988.
American as well as Canadian amateur operations could be seriously threatened if Canada's Department of Communications, known as the DOC, succeeds in its plan to reclassify a meteorological aid as a radio location device. The intent of the DOC reclassification is to allow a meteorological aid to be operated within the 430 to 450 megahertz amateur band, which is 70 centimeters, by the way. Such a frequency assignment to a meteorological aid is in contravention of an international frequency plan treaty to which Canada is a signatory. Radio location devices, however, can be assigned frequencies within the 70 centimeter band, and the DOC has used reclassification as an opportunity to seize valuable amateur spectrum. The very real danger to amateurs in the United States is that once Canada reclassifies a meteorological aid as a radio location device, there would be virtually irresistible pressure in the U.S. for the FCC to do likewise. The impact on 70-centimeter amateur operations in the U.S. could be devastating. Existing and future satellite uplinks could be rendered useless, ATV, weak signal, and EME operations could become impossible, and in many areas, the FM repeaters could be forced out of the band completely. The meteorological aid in question is a high-powered triple-beam broadband clear air Doppler radar system known as CADR. CADR or CADR systems are now operating in the U.S. on the meteorological aid frequency of 404.37 megahertz, where they pose no direct threat to the 70-centimeter amateur band. These and future installations could be moved to the 70-centimeter amateur band, however, if CADR is reclassified. CADR is a research system designed to study high-altitude wind profiles. As such, it clearly and correctly falls within the definition of meteorological aids service, a radio communication service used for meteorological, including hydrological, observation and exploration. If the Canadian DOC reclassification is permitted to proceed, it would also set a dangerous precedent. Any radio service could be reclassified at the whim of a civil servant. This must not be allowed to happen in Canada or the U.S. U.S. amateurs are urged to fight this serious problem by writing their elected officials in Washington and urging them to file diplomatic protests with the Canadian government on behalf of U.S. amateurs. The fate of the 70-centimeter band in the United States could be at stake. U.S. amateurs should write the IARU and ARRL, urging these organizations to take immediate action to fight the Canadian reclassification. The DOC has recently announced that CADRs will be placed on 441 megahertz. Your immediate action is vital to protect valuable amateur radio spectrum from this unwanted malignant intruder. Act now. Valuable amateur radio frequencies are in serious jeopardy. This is Doug, N3AIA, for the Bear Information Service.
Have you ever thought of learning Morse code via the written word? One Chicago ham did some years back. Jim Georges, W9JUG, was the volunteer examiner coordinator administrator for the DePaul University VE program based in Chicago in 1988. Here is an excerpt from an RP report with Jim about his ideas at the time behind what he termed his code recognition proposal.
It would be a complete code test that would be on paper, would be tested on all the letters of the alphabet, numbers, and punctuation, and prosigns, and the applicant would have to score 80% or better to pass, and it would be done very similar to the written test.
If you can't hear the code, but you can recognize it on paper, then how are you going to get along as a novice to increase your code speed so that someday you get your general?
Oh, that's a sound argument. The amateur radio operator wishing to upgrade will study the code and prepare himself for the upper class licenses. One thing about novice enhancement that might lead right into this or support this is novice enhancement has made it much easier for the novice to go to the technician class. But novice enhancement, it's a lot harder novice test. We increased the questions from 20 to 30, increased the subject matter, and to include all digital modes and new frequencies, and we made the code test harder by requiring that all the letters and punctuation and numbers be sent with the prosign. So novice enhancement has been successful in getting people to go from novice to tech. There's been an increase in that, but has been a failure for people coming into the hobby, as we've known the numbers to be sliding here in the last few months. We haven't seen the big increase. And Johnny Johnson of the FCC, Washington, D.C., supports this view. In his recent comments, which are publicized in the W5YI report.
Johnny Johnson being the chief of the private radio branch.
That's right? Correct.
In your proposal, Jim, if one were to upgrade from novice to tech, would you have to take the listening code test to become a tech, or would you not need to do that until and unless you wanted to become a general?
That's correct. I would think we would go under the same grandfather clause as we now have it. To support this whole idea, if a person wants to learn CW, he's going to learn it. If he wants to get on the low bands and operate, or if he wants to get on the novice bands, if he wants to communicate as a novice, at least he's going to have a recognition of the code. And this code speed is going to be dependent upon how much time he's going to spend on the air. One of the things I try to encourage my students that are interested in ham radio, they want to upgrade from tech to general, is get on the novice bands or get on the air. That's the best type of code practice you can ever get.
On your code recognition test, how would it be laid out on paper? Would you have slashes and dots for dits and dots, or how would you set it up format-wise?
The format would be generated randomly like we do generate a technician, general, advanced, and extra elements. It would be in a computer. Every test would be a unique exam, and it would come out with the dits and dahs on a piece of paper, and it would include all the alphabet and the numbers and the punctuation and prosigns. And the applicant would have to indicate a letter or the number in the space provided. And a key would also be generated. We could use Scantron type of a grading procedure, or a cutout or mask type of grading procedure. But it'd be very, very similar to the written exam.
Are you looking for input from the amateur community concerning your proposal?
Yes, we're working right now with the ARRL with a proposal like this. A committee was formed at the Miami meeting. We do need input. Input can be addressed to the DeVry Amateur Radio Society, 3300 North Campbell Avenue, Chicago, 60618.
And that was Jim Georges, W9JUG, former VEC administrator for the DePaul University VE program in Chicago in the late 80s, voicing his ideas behind his code recognition program. It was never adopted. You're in the middle of Classic Rain Hamcast number 28 for November 14th, 2020. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
We conclude this hamcast with something light. It's a commercial that was produced to promote a suburban Chicago radio club in 1988. Rain founder Hap Polly, KC9RP, was a member of this club back then. Unfortunately, the Northwest Amateur Radio Club no longer exists. Here's that promo voiced by Paula Yushin, K9IR. Her call in those days was WB9WNN, or as she used to say, why not now?
Hello, this is Paula Yushin, WB9WNN, for the Northwest Amateur Radio Club, the ham radio club that gives you more. How much more? How about two meetings a month, each featuring program on a topic of interest to members. We just had our first March meeting, but you can still make our second meeting on March 22nd. Our program will feature a demonstration of oscilloscope operation and explain how you can use this handy piece of test gear. What else does the Northwest Amateur Radio Club have to offer? Plenty. A repeater at 443.0, an affiliated repeater at 147.39, with a Thursday night net starting at 8:30 p.m., a monthly newsletter, a door prize raffle at every meeting, novice and upgrade license classes, participation in emergency and community service, a packet bulletin board at 145.07, and a competitive field day effort that is among the top performers nationwide. And these are only some of our many activities. So how can you get in on the fun? Simply come on out to our meetings. The Northwest Amateur Radio Club meets on the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month from 7 to 9 p.m. in the Ayler Funeral Home downstairs community room. The home is located at Lee and Perry Streets in Des Plaines. If you would like a copy of our club brochure, our latest newsletter, or further information, just call 358-6644. That's 358-6644. Or write to us at Post Office Box 121, Arlington Heights, Illinois, 60006. P.O. Box 121, Arlington Heights, 60006. Remember, our next meeting is March 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. The Northwest Amateur Radio Club, the club that gives you more. I'm Paula Yushin, WB9WNN, for the Bear Information Service.
And this concludes Classic Rain Hamcast number 28, posted November 14th, 2020. We thank you for your patience as we work through some computer issues this fall. The Classic Rain Hamcast is copyright 1988-2020 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for Rain's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. We'll be back Thanksgiving weekend with podcast number 29. And please don't forget to wash your hands, wear your mask, and watch your social distance. Keep on hamming!